Good evening and welcome to Good News Update. This is Rebecca and I'm filling in this evening for Jen because we are very fortunate to have as our guest tonight on Good News Update, Jen. Are you there?
I'm here, Rebecca. Thank you.
So, Jen, you're here to talk about an exciting new radio program that's coming next week, I believe, the 28th, called the Learning to Love Learning program. And so I just wanted to ask if you would talk a little bit about how the idea came about and how it fits in with our focus for the year.
Well, funny you should ask. really excited. I'm imagining a lot of folks listening were part of last year's radio show, the 300 for 1,000 program, which was the first time we did a second radio show of the week. So we've had open air now for more than 10 years, which is amazing, and we've known for years that we needed another one because there are always way more callers than we can get. And Sherry had this wonderful idea last year to invite people into if they wanted to raise $1,000 for the monastery, and it really turned into a whole sort of program around being lit up and working together and trying out new things and all of that in service to supporting practice. And so it really became way more about way more than the $1,000, and the radio program was such a fabulous way that we got together weekly to talk about, you know, what we were seeing and the projects we'd taken on to raise that money, and you know, the successes we were having and the voices that we were busting through and all that sort of thing. So we knew there was no way we could end at a year, that everyone was clear we wanted to continue on. And sort of three quarters of the way through the year, this theme began to emerge of learning to love learning. I think actually the first time it came up, Sherry was talking to a caller about a process of learning something. And they were talking about how for so many of us, we get closed down to learning at such a young age. And so they were looking at, wouldn't it be fabulous to write a book about on the topic of learning to love learning? And that just really caught on, and we had so many other shows where that theme kept recurring. And then looking at weaving that theme into the fabric of the focus for the entire year for this year, the year of the Cooperative of Sangha, and being lit up together. And so we've decided that the particular focus of the Thursday night radio show this year will be on that, will be on the topic of learning to love learning. And all the folks who opted into the year-long retreat that includes the kickoff was the video workshop last month, and there are several email classes through the year, and a process of supporting people through carrying their intentions throughout the whole year, and the Thursday night radio show will be a piece of that.
So the way it will work is folks will pick something that they've wanted to learn or just never did, or just something that feels like it would light them up to learn, and then they can call into the radio program for support or to share what they're doing or any like that. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the reason it's such a perfect, I was just looking at it today, such a perfect ground for practice that, you know, you look at little kids and, I mean, learning is just what they're doing all the time. I mean, that's what life is. It's learning, you know, at an incredible rate. You know, you see a child wakes up one morning and can do something they couldn't do the day before, you know, motor skills and words that are coming out of their mouths. And just it's that the learning process at that young age is so obviously happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, that for many of us, there's a trauma or many traumas that kind of happen around that, and the standards and the expectations and the, you know, opinions and judgments of the conditioned world begin to get overlaid on that process, and that interest and that curiosity and that enthusiasm get covered over, and the process of learning becomes difficult or boring or I don't want to or it's too scary, you know, stay closed down. And so what a perfect thing to do together as Sangha to come back to that place of the joy of learning, because it is a joy.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a joy that for at least the first 5 or 6 years of life, we just call it playing.
Exactly,
right?
That's exactly right. As I was saying that, you know, we don't, okay, today I'm going to learn 3 new words. I mean, you don't do that. You're just learning. You're just curious, mm-hmm. putting everything in your mouth and smelling it and touching it and, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it'd be funny if we could just change that language or go to that place where, okay, now I'm going to play drawing.
Yeah.
Or now I'm going to play a foreign language. Now I'm going to play with my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to play with French for an hour.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And to see how that really could take us to that place that you're describing inside of ourselves that we know is still there. You know, we know is there because we touch there all the time. And and this is just us coming together as Sangha to touch into that love of learning together, so and supporting each other in that.
Yes, and that it gives us, you know, we said this all of last year and we're carrying it forward, it gives us practice of standing in the place of what it feels like when I'm present. Because, you know, we could say learning is a synonym for being alive. I mean, mm-hmm. it is, you know, and so when we're present, when we're here, we're excited, we're joyful, we're, you know, it's just all a big playful mystery. And so to have a tangible way, you know, I'm going to learn French, I'm going to play the flute, I'm going to play the saxophone, I'm going to, you know, learn how to ice skate, whatever it is, to have a tangible way to explore that process, not only of, you know, what the voices say to me and how they're going to stop me, because you know that's going to happen. I mean, that's a big piece of why we do it, is to see what is conditioning going to do in my particular case to try to stop me from living in the present moment. So I'll get to see all that and then get to connect in every Thursday night with what people are seeing and that experience of being in the moment and being lit up by all of it. And as we practice those two places, you know, we see what the voices are doing and we see how they try to drag us back, and then we go back to that place of just being joyful and excited and lit up and present, you know, it starts to be really clear. Gosh, I know which choice I want to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and as you're talking, what I'm seeing is how that is such a being a co-op. You know, we're being a cooperative together because, I mean, the last year's radio show, the 300 for 1,000, I mean, it really had the feel that we are so all in this together for a common goal, you know, and that was raising money for the monastery.
Yeah.
And this, if we could say, you know, we're all so all in this together because we, for our common goal of waking up and ending suffering, you know, really relearning to love learning or whatever that, you know, that how you want to phrase that common goal. But it does have that feeling of everybody is necessary for this to help us all,
yeah.
you know, in that way that Sangha is.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a good point, Rebecca. You know, we just don't know if, you know, the one little thing that I say when I call into the radio show on Thursday is going to be exactly the thing that so-and-so on the other side of the globe needed to hear at just that moment. I mean, you know, it's just all so connected.
Yeah, we really can't do it alone.
We really can't do it alone. And, you know, as you were talking a minute ago, it occurred to me, too, that the invitation is so wide open for connecting the two things. So it's the cooperative practice. It's our practice. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
our practice. And we all love it. And we all want to see it continue. And we all want to support it. And how fun it would be to choose as one of my projects. I don't know about other folks, but I have a number of learning opportunities I want to participate in this year.
Well,
you know, one of them be directly about supporting practice in some tangible way. I mean, how fun would that be to combine the two?
Oh, yes. You know, and I can sure speak from experience that there is just no, you know, there's nothing more joyful than participating in Sangha and volunteering in one way or another and supporting it. It's such good training and it's just such a joyful experience. So yeah, that is, and learning how to plug in. And to that end, I think our plan is to have opportunities to talk about different ways that is happening within Sangha, that, you know, that we are as Sangha working together and to, you know, to be lit up together through a learning process. So I think we'll be weaving that throughout some of the radio program as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So it's a good deal all the way around.
It sure is. So I don't know if there's anything else that you want to mention. We are almost out of time, but take a quick look and see if there's anything else.
Just mostly I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, and so let's see, it starts on the 28th, right?
Yep.
And folks who are registered, tell me if this is right, I think folks who are registered for the year long will get some kind of a notice about that and how to call in
information. It's different. It's a different setup than, I mean, it's the same platform as Open Air, but it's a different number and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we'll send you out all the details. It's 5 o'clock Pacific time, so 5 to 6 Pacific time every Thursday starting next week.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, thank you for joining us, Rebecca and Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Nobody turned it over to you. Did you notice that?
I was waiting for the handoff.
It was a good thing you were heads up there. I thought, whoa. And then there you were. Whew.
Time for life to come in and fill the gap.
Yes. How are you doing?
Great. Well, I'm so glad that I can hear your voice this week, let me tell you.
Oh, wasn't that an exciting little few minutes? I'm sure way more exciting for you than for any of the rest.
Yeah, most things I try not to take personally, but technical challenges with Open Air, I take them very personally.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you can work on that this year.
I can work on that this
because
year.
Because if you notice, there are just times when no matter what you do, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think last week was one, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And I'm glad that they're relatively few and far between.
Yeah. I was thinking that. It's been months and months and months since that.
Yes.
Since that happened to us. So.
Yeah.
And usually it is the platform, right? I mean, you know, if the system is down, then we really just, adjust. Let go.
Yes. Yes, let go the illusion of control.
Exactly. And it's perfect, isn't it? Because we can show up, we can do our best, we can do everything we can do, but we don't have control.
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
You know, to have that that experience happen in a venue like a radio show.
Yes.
Is way better than, say, a car crash or, right. You know, a terminal illness. It's just good to get these little reminders that, it's all in life's hands. And so we just, you know, we're just here. We're along for the ride. And with what the gals were talking about just a minute ago, the thing that we get to contribute is enjoying it.
Yes.
That's our part. As far as I can tell, that's our part. Just saying thank you and enjoying. Learning to enjoy all of it, including the parts that we've been taught not to enjoy. And then we can just really be with life as life is, instead of, as we talk about endlessly, trapped in that world of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate that always has a better idea about how it should be. Moment by moment. So it's good.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
You have posted a new entry in the practice blog.
I did.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, good. Good.
I recorded it.
Oh, good. I haven't been there in a while. I went there yesterday, I think, and somebody had written something really extraordinary as a comment. I appreciate that. I hope people would read that comment. Maybe there are others that people should be reading too. But the first one was, it was very good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. And you can find that blog entry by going to livingcompassion.org. And near the bottom, there's a banner and there's a link there and you can click on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And there's a new retreat offered for the first time this year, the I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It, Transcending Resistance Retreat.
Which is going to hopefully provide a book by the same title or a very similar title. So we're looking forward to that too.
Great. Yes, it will be offered at the monastery April 24th through 28th and in North Carolina on May 8th through 12th.
Mm.
And we'll explore resistance and practice tools that can move us from resisting life to living fully in awareness of all that is.
Yeah, that's what this year is about, isn't it? Last year, we were sneaking up on it. We were closing. This year, we're just going for it.
Great. Also at the monastery, There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. It'll be offered April 13th through 20th and May 4th through 11th. It's a fabulous 8-day retreat about having compassion for yourself and everyone. It's a great first retreat and also a great retreat to repeat every few years.
Yes, because, you know, even as powerful as that retreat is, and it is powerful, it's the I hear more comments about that book and that retreat, I think, than anything else that we do. And still, people who have done that retreat forget that there's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have a booster shot
yes.
periodically.
Yes.
A reminder that, nope, there still isn't. There wasn't, and nope, still isn't.
Yes. Never has been.
Never has been. Isn't going to be.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the new schedule or to sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, Michael, and hi, Sherry. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Well,
hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really, really good. Thank you very much. I'm great.
Good.
I'm really pleased that I've got the opportunity to be able to call because it feels like a really long time.
It has been a long time. Hey,
yeah.
I have a curiosity question for you before.
Yeah.
Do you get up two nights in a row? I mean, two nights in a week for when we have two radio shows, or do you sometimes let yourself just go with the archives?
With the what? Let myself go with the what?
With the archives. So you sleep in and then you get it off the web the next day or whenever it gets posted.
Yeah, I use the app on my phone, the Open Air app, and I listen to it usually the next day. What
Very
usually
good.
Happens is, yeah, when I get back from work.
Yeah, I could feel guilty about you being up in the middle of the night, two nights out of the week. That could take
yeah.
a toll on a person.
No, and I didn't, because I was working the next day last week, and I didn't do it last week, and I got all settled and everything, and I got in the right position and on the app it's got that it's like on for 4 hours or something, and I was thinking, this is interesting, and there was just silence and then I realised and I thought, oh yeah, something didn't work or something last week. So.
But what does happen to you is that I would bet you have to now switch off, right? So sometimes you can call into Open Air, and then sometimes you can call into the Thursday night show and like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
I'm excited about this because, well, at the moment for this academic year, Thursdays are a good night for me. They're easier than Tuesdays. So.
Oh, good.
So it works really well for me.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, I've just been doing the email class
mm-hmm.
with you, so that's been really great, and I'm just reading, you know, the responses now all the responses.
it has been a phenomenal class, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it's just at least from my perspective,
yeah,
to see people so. Lit up is just the only word for it. You know, to have this sense that for so many people, practice is really coming together. They're having the experience. It's like, oh, I get it. You know,
yeah.
It really is. I can make the choice, can I? Oh, I did. I see how to do that now.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that being with the Sangha is really great because always you hear the message that, you know, you just do it and then if it doesn't work or an aspect of it doesn't work for whatever reason, you just start again, which is the whole thing about practice anyway.
Mm.
It's, you know, for me, and it's something that I'm doing a lot at the moment, so suddenly realising that oh, I've been asleep for a whole day.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to wake up now, and then doing that again and again every day. So I do it every day. Every day I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to start again.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good moment to start.
Yeah.
I'm here now. Thanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a critical point. That if people could actually get that, the beatings would stop.
Yeah.
Right? Because here we are. I'm in this moment. Life is beginning right now in this moment. It doesn't matter what happened before.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a message that I've heard continuously, you know, for the last X amount of years, you know, so reading your books and listening to the radio show. So it's really helpful. So that's a default thing that sort of comes up for me now,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I've been really seeing, so sort of two things lately are that I've really been seeing when I've not been there, and also seeing how having unconditional self-acceptance for myself really is going deeper. And so I think you did a response to somebody in the email class, and it was really feel it in your bones. And I was thinking, oh, I've been seeing, so before I thought I was doing it all right, and I was, because I was on the right path and on the right steps, but lately I've really been seeing how I can have compassion and empathy for all the different aspects of my body and that get me through the day, and how well I really have done. It's much more friendly. And also, with the email class, you started out with it being looking at the world as being friendly, and that was just really great, because a lot of the time I don't, and I haven't up until now, and so I've been really, really paying attention to that, and thinking, well, no, it's all friendly, and these people are all friendly, and then there's less of a sort of internal battle going on inside me, and that helps me to be aware more and to be present more.
Yeah, because you want to. You know, we look around, and just the mere thought that, you know, I think trees are friendly. You know, as soon as we accept that, well, there's no, absolutely no indication whatsoever that trees aren't friendly. You know, we're surrounded by friendly creatures.
Yes.
You know, even if we can't quite get to people yet, everything around us is, if we just make that little switch, that it's supporting us. It's what's all of this is what's enabling us to be alive, literally.
Yeah.
And then we start noticing the people who smile and the ones who say thank you, and just little moments throughout our day, and we begin to switch that over to people. You know that people are.
Yeah.
And some aren't.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we can just notice, well, that's a friendly person. So I quote this every few years. Geo Kennett from Shasta Abbey would talk about saddened love.
Say that again. Sorry.
Saddened love.
Okay.
And that was actually her definition or synonym for evil.
Oh, okay.
That it's saddened
love.
Everybody starts out as love.
Yeah.
And then some things happen to people. And some things that happen to people are so bad and so awful that they become so sad that they can't any longer touch into that love. And they become what we call mean or angry or hostile or violent or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But she would talk about it as saddened love.
Yeah.
A whole different picture of those folks.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that really helps me. In the moment, I don't always remember it. But at night time when I'm journaling, I will remember it then. And it is really helpful. And generally, so if it's a person that I know or that I'm in contact with, if you get to know them, you can kind of sense that they're just not happy, and they're really not happy people, and that, because I can feel, I can myself feel intimidated by somebody that comes across as being angry and those kinds of things, and so I'll identify with an aspect of myself, but then it'll be later on that I'll think, but I can really tell that they're not very happy because they don't smile very much.
Yeah, yeah. So and you just kind of want to, you want to send them a little blessing and
yeah,
and hope that they're happier.
Yeah,
because we know, you know, if I'm in a, something has happened, whatever it is, and I'm in a bad mood, well, I'm not happy. So it's not like, you know, I got up in the morning and I'm really happy, but I'm just going to go out and be mean to people. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Never
yeah.
that. It's that it's coming from a place of suffering, and
yeah.
just losing sight of the fact that, well, you really need to take that out on everybody else. You know, that when we're identified to that degree,
yeah.
asking us to be disidentified enough to be kind, that's
yeah.
a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. So I've been really enjoying looking at that aspect, and because I can see it with the trees and all of that, and that's awesome. So then applying it to people as being friendly, that's what I'm enjoying looking at the moment. And
yeah.
just one thing as well before I have to go, I really enjoyed the poetry, you know, in the cast.
Yeah.
It's just been fantastic. And just one little story. On Friday, the goldfinches.
Yeah.
Home of the goldfinches. So I have loads of bird feeders in my garden. And we have goldfinches all year round. But the maximum I've ever seen is 6. So I think it's like a mum and a dad and up to four babies. And I will always stop and look at birds wherever I am. So it's a great reminder. But that's, we kind of like live out in the country a bit. So the maximum I've ever seen is 6. The very next day on the Saturday, we went to a big city, Manchester, to a big theatre. And it's along a wharf or some quays. And there's a big shopping centre and there's huge skyrise flats and all of that kind of thing. And I was we were walking along and suddenly something was coming, trying to get into my consciousness, and I realised I could hear this sound, and I stopped, and I realised it was birds, and we were looking, and we saw the birds, and they were in the trees that were lining the avenue. It was quite late; it was about 5 o'clock, and it was getting dark, and we were like, "Well, what are they? There were loads of them, and we couldn't see because the sun was behind them and silhouetting them." And then finally we managed to make them out because we're used to what they look like anyway. And they were goldfinches, and there were at least 50 of them. And I was like, and because I was with Poppy, and it was really funny because I'd already shown Poppy the poem because Poppy adores poetry and I knew she'd love this. And she said, "When did you see that? When did you get that poem? And I said, "It was yesterday." So that was awesome.
That's
so thank
wonderful.
You for that, and thank you.
Well,
for
and while the thank yous are going around, I want to give credit to the real inspiration behind that, and that was Ashwini. She came up with the arc of the class and the poems that went with it and the assignments
yeah.
and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed it too. I would just
yeah.
get in my inbox this. I think this would be great for the next class.
Yeah.
Simply have to say, "Me too," and
yeah.
be able to enjoy it. So yeah.
yeah.
And in fact, I will tell you that she just wrote to Mary Oliver.
Yeah.
asking if we could use some of her poems in this new book that's coming out, because they're just so they just touch into that place that we're talking about in practice, like very few things I think do, except maybe
goldfish. Yeah. 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 It's brilliant, and as you know, we had to come up with some plans and some projects. And so one of mine, I'm I came up with lots, but one of them that I came up with, but I'm really, really nervous about it, is writing poetry. But anyway, so I wrote a poem based on that and in homage to Mary Oliver and the finches. I'll send it in to you.
Oh, good. Oh,
and
good.
And I've done an illustration as well. We've just got to put them together.
All right.
So,
oh,
but I'm already started.
Wonderful.
So I've gone off the starting line now.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We
so
look
thank
forward
you.
To it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody for everything, and to Michael as well.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, thank yous all around, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Okay, good night. Good night. Bye.
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 Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Fun to hear from old friends, Sherry.
Oh, it is. It's the best.
Yes.
The only thing that's as good is hearing from new friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Fabulous.
Yep.
And right now, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Becca from Baltimore.
Becca?
Yes.
Oh, good. We have a terrible connection.
Let me try, is it better now?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I think I can understand you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm really good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yeah. What's been happening?
Well, I just want to very quickly put a plug in for the awareness coaches.
Ah.
Because
great.
That's been one of the most wonderful things for me.
Well, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's so wonderful to have someone who's interested in your particular practice and you check in with every week, and who's so compassionate, even when you forget how to be compassionate to yourself, and I don't know.
Yes, yes. So there are several elements of that, aren't there? To have somebody to practice with, so somebody, I think it might have been a 20, called it having a group of one. So it's like being on retreat or being at the monastery and you go to group. Wow, this is really bad. Are you still there?
I'm still there.
Whew. Michael?
Huh. Do you want me to try one other thing? I can try one other thing.
Yes, please. Because it's pretty intensely intense.
Okay, give me a second. I'm guessing that's not better yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay, give me one second. So sorry. I'll try one other thing, and if it doesn't work, I understand. Is that any better?
Marginally. But,
marginally?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'll try one more thing.
Okay.
And that'll be it.
Oh.
Now that's
how about that?
That's,
is that any better?
Much better.
Okay.
Yeah. Whew. Okay, good.
Thank you for bearing with me while I figured it out.
Oh, not a problem. So the thing about what, so I think what I was saying was it's that group of one. So in you're at a retreat and we're in group and everybody's talking about what their process is, and it's extraordinarily helpful to hear and see everybody's process. But when you have a coach, you're the only one in the group. And
yes.
to have someone there who is supporting your practice, understands what's going on with you, there's that little accountability feature that's awfully nice. And that level of support can just make much more difference in a practice than we would think it could make.
Well, and there's the continuity, too. Like,
yeah.
there's a checking in with what happened last week and seeing how things have changed. And
yeah.
I love that part, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
very good. So
yeah,
you said there was something else as well.
Hmm?
You said there was something else as well.
Yes, and you will understand the significance of this because it's one of the most exciting things that ever happened to me. So around the first of the year, I started making myself fresh juice every morning. And it's kind of funny. I put horseradish in my juice, which is a strange thing to do. But it was just an idea that happened, and we started doing it. And I went 46 days without a single migraine, Sherry.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
wow.
Pretty big deal.
Wow. And are you thinking it's the horseradish?
Well, I think it's partly the horseradish because I do think that horseradish, in my experience, is moving the toxins through my body that get gummed up and cause migraines perhaps, and keeping my sinuses open, which are two bodily things that might be causing or making them worse. But I really think what it is that I've made a commitment to myself and I haven't let myself down one time. I've made myself fresh juice every morning for the last 48 days. And that's a huge thing for me to have accomplished.
You know what? It's a huge thing for anybody, not just for you. In fact, somebody told me, and I wish I could remember the number, it's a comparable number, but this person made a commitment to do something like 60 yoga classes in 60 days, and is now on, like, day 44. Hasn't missed a single. I mean, those kinds of things are just outrageous. So I hope you are really able to take it in, celebrate it, and be really, really, really impressed. Because
yeah.
that's tremendous.
Well, and it's so helpful that even though conditioning course tries to talk me out of getting up and making that commitment to myself, I do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know how helpful it is for me to do it. And
yeah.
And that's huge.
It's huge. It is. It's huge. You're choosing you. You're choosing this human being over karmic conditioning and self-hate. That's the whole deal right there. And a couple of things about that I really love. You don't actually know that it's the horseradish, right?
No.
But you're trying it.
Yes.
Right? So it could work, and in fact, it seems like it is working. And so it's that spirit of inquiry. You know, I in your case, you know, you've had these debilitating headaches forever. And
yes.
you get to the place where you will just do anything, follow any lead, make any commitment to help this human being out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes for each one of us. That's what working out our own salvation diligently means. That we move to a place of compassion such that we will do anything to save a person who is suffering. And blessedly, we have one really close to home who is suffering that we can do that for. Yeah.
Yes. And it's, I was thinking of something to say. In response to, what is it? Oh, and once you see it working in one place in your life,
yeah.
like I can see it so clearly with the juicing, it's much easier to start bringing in other things like the awareness coaching and reflective listening buddies and commitments that I used to not be able to keep because they were for me.
Yes. Wow.
So
and
it gets easier.
Again, that's the deal, isn't it? Those are the commitments that karmic conditioning works so hard to get people not to be able to keep. It's the ones that take care of you, because as soon as you turn the corner, as soon as a person turns the corner that you've turned and realize that it's keeping a commitment to and taking care of this one person that's going to free up everything, karmic conditioning knows its days are numbered, because you are just going to add the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing until there's no room for it anywhere in your life.
I would say that's my experience. It's kind of happening, and I'm just kind of watching it all happen with such happiness, because it's been so hard for me to do this for myself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you did it. You've done it.
Yeah.
You're doing it. I am so happy for you. I'll tell you, the last time I was this happy for you was when you got that job.
Yep, and
remember
I still
that
got that job. I still got it. Yep, it's still the best practice opportunity anybody could ever ask for, and I'm still very grateful for it. I'm still required to be authentic and doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's good. So, isn't it? I mean, that it feels like that was, I don't know, you know, but one of those karmic junctures where if you hadn't chosen yourself in that moment, your life would have gone in a really different direction.
Yes. It really would have, and that was a situation where I think life was kind of helping me by helping the situation happen, and I didn't take responsibility for it in the same way that I can with the juicing. Like, I know that I'm doing that for myself.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yeah. Well, it's great. I'm glad that phone finally came through.
Yes.
I'm really happy.
Thank you for bearing with me, and I'm so grateful to talk to you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Take good care. And I can say, take good care, and I know you will.
I am. And, Sherry, before you go, I got to tell you, I am coming to the monastery this summer. I am going to come to a retreat. I don't know which one yet, but I am really close.
Good. Good. All right. Don't wait too long to sign up.
I won't.
Okay. Very, very, very good. All right. We'll see you soon then.
All right, we will.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Becca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay, thanks.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Laura calling.
Hello.
Hi. Sherry, I'm calling because you asked me to call and tell you what kind of spinning I am doing, and it's the yarn one.
Ah, okay.
And, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, it is very, very, very much fun, and I have to tell you that the person who's teaching me, to make a long story short, my husband found me a spinning wheel that had been in his family his grandmother had it.
Wow.
And so it's coming over from the mainland, and how cool is that?
Yes, and is it I have a little miniature one. It's only the wheel is maybe not even 2 feet around. Is yours a big people one?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I know it has treadles. It has a treadle.
Oh, yeah, yours is a big people one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's
a little people one for
so
fun,
exciting.
Hey? Yeah. Yeah. So is that my one topic? Because if it is, that's fine.
No. We don't keep track like that.
Okay.
We'd be out of business if I tried to keep track like that. Oh, my goodness. they cut me off long ago.
Well, I just wanted to say that in a couple of hours, I'm leaving to go to where I came from in the middle of winter. And what I've noticed about this adventure that I'm going on, it's to help people physically move, is that I am pretty good at letting go of conditioning. The past stuff, right, where it'll come in and want to debrief something or tell me what I did wrong or said wrong or didn't do right or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
it's a little more difficult to disidentify when I am being barraged with how awful things are going to be, even though I know they are never awful.
Uh-huh. But it's harder to disidentify from that.
It seems to be more difficult to turn away from it. But, you know, that just might be habit, too. I just might need more practice.
So you're getting ready to go on this adventure, and
I am.
So it wants to lay out a bunch of scenarios for you about how bad it's going to be and how you're not going to be successful and it's not going to work and that sort of thing?
Well, and also I'm going to freeze to death.
Uh-huh. which you're actually really concerned about, right? So it's got you on that one, right? You kind of agree with
it. No, actually, I have, like, clothes waiting for me when I land. So it's
okay.
Okay,
good. And so really, your kind of your only response to that is, well, there are a couple. You know, I like to do things with the voices, like say, now, how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I think we should make a list of these things and just see how good you are at predictions.
Right.
Because I think you're making up a bunch of stuff here. So let's write it all down, and we'll check in afterwards and see how well you did.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Or if conditioning wants to go off and have that experience, that's fine. I just don't choose to participate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're free to go. Get your own flight, preferably.
Uh-huh.
And, go have whatever experience you want to have. The one I want to have is being present to life as it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And trusting that life is going to provide exactly the experiences that are best for me right now to take the next steps I need to take. So you do whatever you want to do over there.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything, of course, you know, I'm just a firm believer in a sense of humor. The one thing that stuff can't stand is being made fun of, being laughed at. And so to just, and of course, you know, lots of times people are afraid to laugh at it because people believe that it has some kind of power to retaliate or really get them. And of course it doesn't. But just to, you know, just poke fun at it because it wants to make it so terribly serious.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so my sense of humor and I will go off on a wonderful adventure. And
that will warm your heart, if nothing else.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I so appreciate this support. Thank you.
Yeah, well, let us know how it goes, okay?
I will.
All right,
thanks so much.
Thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Hey, Michael. You know, I forgot to mention to Laura when she was talking about freezing to death that we here at the monastery are in a winter wonderland.
Oh, wow.
It snowed. It has snowed all afternoon, and as far as the eye can see, it's white.
Oh, that sounds very beautiful.
It is very beautiful.
You going to send us some pictures?
Yeah. Yes. That's a good idea. I'm hoping that people are out down there this afternoon, that they took some pictures. I know they did. Because Jen texted me, one of the pond.
Okay.
So, I bet there will be some coming out on the next monastery wall at the newsletter.
Yeah, I remember several years ago you had a big snowstorm, and I remember the photos from that.
Yes. Now, we hope this one isn't quite the same, because what happens, of course, here is everywhere in a big snowstorm, all the branches fall off the trees.
Yes.
And which is terribly cleansing for the forest, but we just did go through and chip up all of those. So we're hoping we don't have another crop, but it is gorgeous.
Yes. Great.
Got a caller?
We do. Next caller, you are now live on the
Ow.
Oh, is this Beth?
Hi,
this is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, is my phone okay? I'm on my cell.
Yeah, it just sounded like somebody was scrunching a lot of papers into the phone.
Okay.
Now you're good, though.
I'm good now?
Still. Yep, you're good.
Okay. And still, yeah.
I bet it's white where you are, too, huh?
It's white.
It's been white
very
for a
white.
Long time.
Yeah.
How
missing.
Are you?
Wow. Well, hanging on.
Uh-huh. All over the map?
Yep.
Wow. You want to say anything specific about that?
Well, just reaching out for support. Just getting hit with a lot of holy stuff. Wow.
Holy stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, you're on a little trip away from the monastery to take care of some things because you come from a neighboring country.
Yes.
And countries get strange about these people just spending too much time in one place or the other. And so just leaving the gates, it was kind of waiting for you on the road right outside the monastery gates.
Wow, was it ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had no idea. You joked to me a couple times when I had extended stays that it's like freeze-dried coffee.
Uh-huh.
And it reconstitutes when I get out here and...
And it looks bigger than it looked before, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's so true. I don't know how that's possible, but it's that worthy opponent we talk a lot about, and it seems bigger. But I'll tell you, it's very humbling, and I have a huge, huge, huge appreciation for, as I did for many, many years, practicing non-monastically.
Uh-huh.
I have a huge, great it's heroic and courageous to practice on any level, absolutely. And to make a commitment to want to practice full-time monastically and get this, you know, visa and get back to the monastery as quickly as possible is a great aspiration. But for those that don't have that opportunity, I'm like, wow, how do they do it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Know, I'm right there with you, Todd. I really am. I think those of us who are blessed with having the life that we have, however you want to talk about that, going to a job, X amount of hours out of every day, and having family and little kids or big kids or parents to deal with, or just all of the stuff that people are hit with trying to live in the world, we could forget how really difficult it is to practice under those circumstances.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I project has happened to you, you walk out of that gate, or drive out of that gate, and it's just like running into a brick wall. If you stayed out there long enough, slowly, over time, every day, you would become, even though you couldn't tell it, you would become a little more unconscious and a little more unconscious and a little more unconscious. and you and a little more distracted, right? Because you would need to in order to be able to make it in that world. You would just shut down a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and the shutdown would feel normal because it's slow. It's kind of like there are those awful images about putting creatures in hot water and bringing it to a boil. So it's so gradual that it's not noticeable until it gets terminal, right? So just that difference, you know, of realizing the shock that it is to walk into the world after being in a monastic environment, and then we can have sympathy for people on the other side too, leaving that world and stepping into the world of monastic practice.
Yes. When I did early in practice, I remember coming to retreats and just being in shock with the system, or the thing was in absolute shock, like, oh my God. And now it's in reverse.
Yeah.
I just left 4 months of monastic practice. I'm back out here in the world, and I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Was it always like this? I was just never aware to it or present to it or... And, of course, in my case, the stakes are super, super high. I've been having a lot of support, which has been incredible, and guidance calls and stuff from the monastery and other support. And it's like, well, this is its last stand. It knows I'm coming back.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You know, if we, for 1 second, if we, you know, just entertain the idea that borders made sense. I love that saying. If just for 1 second, let's suspend the notion that actually borders made sense. We'll go through the whole process these governments need, but it knows this is it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't stop me here, it's over. I mean, truly, I mean, its footholds are gone.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if we can keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, because that is exactly what it's going for. It's just going to hit a person with everything it's got in the hope that you're going to cut and run. And, of course, what we know is if you do cut and run, you know, you're toast. But, you know, again, over time, it's the horror of it diminishes and the level of self-hate becomes... manageable and like that, but it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, and just, you know, thank goodness, you know, next Thursday we got the you know, Learning to Love Learning, and I've got a project already in mind for it, and I did the email class, and I'm in contact daily with the monastery and in with the, you know, the visa people, and just and if I could do the don't feel like it, don't want to right now retreat, because that's what I get at every turn. Don't feel like don't want to. It is projecting. Don't feel like you don't want to meet at levels I've never experienced.
But
it's got to sabotage this. It's got to make a way that I cannot cross that border again. And as I'll be in support and encouragement of God, is we're going to prove it wrong. We're going to prove it wrong.
Yeah. Very good. And even though it's so painful to go through, it's really helpful to watch it do its worst.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because
so
if this is its
first,
I'm sorry?
Keep good notes.
Keep good notes. Oh, I've got my recorder, hundreds of recordings. I am recording on the hour, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's
like,
good.
Oh, my God. This is happening, and this sensation, and that story, and this believability, and oh, my goodness, I fell for that. And wow, I came through during this. Whew.
Yeah,
no, it's the workshop of all workshops. But what a great opportunity and suffering, because if I make it through this, I can make it through anything, as I've often said.
Yeah, yep. I know that feeling well, and you know what? It really is true. It really is, and it's the same conversation, really, that we were having with Becca earlier, because what it is choosing the human, choosing that person, finally saying, I will go through anything to free that human being. That's what practice is all about. It's never the content, although for the voices of karmic conditioning and self-hate, it's only the content. But what we know is it's just stay in the course. It's just continuing to come from unconditional love and acceptance to the best of our ability, moment by moment by moment, until we actually wear it out, which is perfect because we can guess for lifetimes it's worn us out.
Yes. Yeah.
Worn us down and caused us to give up and quit and just feel bad.
Yeah.
And now we have the ability to wear it down, wear it away.
Yes. And before this practice, I think anything that my heart desired or wanted or aspired to, Sherry, I quit.
Yeah.
And this one, this is no, there's no quit in this being. I mean, I've written it in process text and emails. There's just, I'm in it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm all in. If this were a poker table, I'm all in.
Right.
You know, I've got all my chips.
And you're not bluffing.
And I'm not bluffing. I'm all in. I bet the farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be able to reach out and call into the show and even have some levity and, like you said, a little bit of humor, because
mm-hmm.
I've been identified in and out severely for a long time, it feels like, since I left,
yeah.
is a huge gas show and gratitude to the practice and ability to end suffering in this human anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're right there with you. So, you know, lean on us.
Soldier.
Lean on us, brother.
Okay, I'm leaning on you. And
all
thanks
right.
again. And
all right.
Hey, Sherry, thank you, Michael, and thank you, everybody at the monastery.
All right. Good night.
See you soon.
Okay, yeah,
see you soon.
Okay, bye.
See you soon. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm at work, and I can't talk. So I just say I'll see you in 10 days, and I wake up, and boy, I'm ready for it.
Okay, that's great. All right, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for letting us know.
You bet.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
That's great.
Next caller.
Little lifeline there.
Yeah. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Dana calling from Michigan.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Cold.
What's going on?
We're having another cold snap. It's pretty cold here.
Ooh. So it's white where you are, too?
Yes, yes.
You know, white is unusual for us, so it's a very big deal, you know.
Yeah,
not so much for you folks.
Yeah, it's pretty common this time of year.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
I just wanted to call to comment on your latest blog post because that was a great help in regards to believing, well, what the voices think are true or try to get you to believe that are true.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the issue that I'm having is... sorry, nervous. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't call me when I heard I was unmuted. I said, oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm not ready. That's okay. Just breathe. It's fine. We'll get through it.
Okay. Basically, I can pretty much tell when I'm falling for the voices, when I'm in fear of something or if something's getting me down. But when it's something that appears true in my life with issues that I've been having lately, I mean, that's what's hard, and that's what really hits me. And I don't always really know what to do when the emotions are there.
Uh-huh.
Even if I know it's a sub-personality, even if I know it's egocentric karmic conditioning, I sit with it, but then I just feel kind of confused because I don't really know where to go from there.
Okay. Now, do you feel comfortable saying what the issue is?
Yeah, right now it's not... feeling that there's not a whole lot of people in my life that I feel that I can trust or rely on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who's been one of my lifelong friends, and we recently had not really a falling out, but a disagreement, and it's been hitting me kind of hard. And so, of course, the voices come in saying, you're not a very good friend. See, we told you that nobody liked you. You're not worthy of having people that you can rely on or trust. And so, especially when it's somebody who I've been so close to for so long, it's hard for me not to fall into that trap and to believe that because, you know, it's like, well, look, it happened, so how can that not be true?
Right, right. And that's the thing. That's the key to the whole deal. And, you know, the thing that I didn't write in that blog, because, you know, you can only write so much and before mm-hmm. it slides over into a book. But the thing that I, the image I wanted people to have is, so you wake up tomorrow morning and you've got the same voices, okay, the same, everything about them is the same, except they're talking about something that you can't relate to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the deal. It's because this is such a believable thing for you. It's only true because you believe it's true.
Even if it's something else.
Yeah. So if you were somebody who just, you know, I can take people or leave them. You know, I've never counted on people. You can't count on people, for God's sake. You can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Then this would not be an issue for you.
True.
Yeah. And so the voices wouldn't talk to you about that. But
okay.
Because you do feel that way, then it's like a scanning process that goes on. And we all know the one where they do get it wrong. They just say something at exactly the wrong time about the wrong thing, and you just stop it in your tracks and go, what? Where did that? But we're trained to kind of go over that, to not really pay too much attention to it, because most of the time what they're saying is accurate enough in the sense that, yeah, we can find situations that we can point at that back up what we're saying so that you will continue to believe that what we're saying is true.
Yes, yes. That's pretty much what's been happening.
Yeah. And so here's what to do, because you wanted the what to do part, right? So,
yes, please.
and you laid it out, right? If it's just the voices of self-hate, essentially,
yeah.
You know, you can do any of our self-hating things. You know, you can tell them to go away. You can tell them you're not interested.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
just turn your attention to something else. But what's happening with it, I project, is that it does, what they're saying really affects someone young in you.
Yeah, that's believable.
Yeah. And that person is who they're talking to. And when she hears that, and you, that has to be in quotes, right?
Yes.
Kind of
yes.
bail out, and she's left there, center stage in your life, listening to this hateful stuff. Okay? So what you do then, you, the real you, the authentic
mm-hmm.
you,
yes.
you sit down with her, and you talk to her. Because you're the friend that she needs. You're as conscious compassion awareness, you are what she can trust and rely on. You're the one who's going to be there for her. Nobody else actually is, for any of us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Yes.
And so that's the relationship that you begin to build. And then when those voices come in and start talking to her, before long, she'll turn to you for reassurance and comfort.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Perfect
yeah,
sense,
you.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so start
you.
The relationship tonight, okay? And you can do it through journaling. You can do it through recording. Recording is really good. You know, you let her talk into the recorder about how she feels and what happened with her friend and what the world looks like. And then the mentor comes in and talks to her about what's really true and who's going to be there for her and how she's going to be taken care of and all like that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
That's very helpful.
Good. Let me know how it goes, huh?
I will. Thank you so much, Yuri.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Good night.
Have a good night. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dana. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
That was good timing, huh?
That was excellent timing.
Excellent timing. Thank you so much, Michael.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.